whirlwind of sound. All I need is open ground. I'm a portable man.
Welcome, I'm Mark Steiner, and for the first part of this hour, as we sit here with my co-host and friend Anthony McCarthy, who of course hosts the Anthony McCarthy Show every Friday during this time, 5 to 7 p.m., right here on WEAA, and is our co-host here every Monday. Anthony, good to have you here.
Great to be here. I'm excited about this first part of this hour, Mark.
Interesting. Before we jump into the politics of the day and the things that are going on around our community and talk about something that we kind of came up with at the beginning of this show, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We are going to talk about balance the bucks. An old NPR friend, Elizabeth Arnold, sent me this piece the other day and said you should really check this out and see what these people are doing in Washington this weekend, which is a kind of a both a social protest on one level and singers entertaining folks on another level, putting them together to talk about this economic crisis we're facing, issue of money, people, and economic equality in America. And we're joined in studio by three of the people who will be performing there. Two of them live right here in the Baltimore area. That's Angela Taylor, singer-songwriter, who was performing at Balance the Bucks. She'll be in her mic in a minute. Right now she's got a camera in her hand, so when she finishes that, she'll be over here to sit down. We're also joined by an old friend of mine who's been in our studio many times over the years, Lee Jones, who's a guitarist, singer-songwriter, will also be performing at Balance the Bucks. And the man who helped put all this together is Del Mark Goldfarb. And Del is a folk singer, disabled Marine Corps vet, organizer of Balance the Bucks, a rally against greed taking place this Sunday, September the 6th. At the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., starting at 2 p.m. And Del, Angela, yes. Lee, good to have all three of you with us.
Thanks for being here.
So, Del, talk about this minute. What is this? And we, by the way, that was Del singing with a cut-up with John Sebastian that he did it for this CD that was done to fight homelessness in America, right?
Yeah, it's called Give Us Your Poor from Appleseed Records. It's a compilation, and my one cut there was Portable Man.
So talk a bit about this, what you're doing.
Well, we're doing this concert at the Washington Monument. Basically, we see the National Mall down there as the public square of the country, and that a lot of people in America have something to say, and what we have to say isn't getting through the usual channels. You know, all this now are voicemail or digital message answering services. You can't get through to a newspaper, or your newspaper is not even assembled where you live. And so just to be heard now is a challenge, because the normal ways to be heard in D.C. are all paid and bought for. If you don't have lobbyists or if you don't have campaign contributions, there's no way for the citizen to be heard. And so these are citizen folk singers, and we all got together on our own with no corporate backing, no company money, and with our own effort, we took out a permit for the stage next to the Washington Monument, and all the songs are all original works that have been compelled by the times that we're living in, and they have the message that we want to be heard in Washington, D.C., but we can't afford a lobbyist, so we're just going to sing songs.
So who all is going to be there?
Well, there's a list. I don't have it in front of me, but let's see.
See if I can pull it up on the air here.
Okay, let me see what I remember. There's Lee Jones, who's really great. John Carroll. I heard John Carroll is going to be pretty high. We got Angela Taylor. We got a guy from Woodstock. He's a songwriter named Mark Black. He's not a household name, but a lot of his songs you're going to recognize. And so he's going to be here. And let's see. King Lumen. I know they're going to be here. I don't know exactly where they're from. Michelle Murray, who's got some sort of an interview show here in town. That's a few. Do you want more?
John C. is a local singer-songwriter and producer, and Woody Lissauer is a great singer-songwriter as well. Those are two that I know.
So what do you think? What do you expect to come out of this? What was the push to make this happen?
A lot of what I've heard over the last few months is the economic, what they call the crisis happening, which is basically all the money being handed over to the bankers and the Wall Street people and not too much being done for people. I kept hearing in what media that was left, either the Huffington Post or other papers, that where's the rage? Where's the people? Where's the rage? Why are they just, with these bonuses that are going out with our money, why aren't we hearing from the people? And I am one of those people, and there's a lot of other people like us, and why aren't we being heard is because of what I just heard previously. So basically, we're taking out a permit, and we're going to speak what we have on our mind, and whether it makes any difference at all. We're going to be out there. We're going to videotape it so it keeps playing on the internet afterwards, so we don't expect this entire message to be heard from 2 to 6 on Sunday. We're going to videotape it, put it up there, And at least we'll show that there are some people in the world, you know, or in America, that have these feelings so that others can attach whatever feelings they have to that.
So, Dale, you mentioned that a lot of the powerful corporate interests have lobbyists. They're able to penetrate that invisible wall around the decision makers who are making a whole lot of decisions. Who's the audience for Sunday? Is it the American people, or are you trying to impact those decision makers?
Everybody. Okay. Look, back when Ronald Reagan was president, I wrote a and they started taking all this money for Star Wars. Back then, $1 billion seemed like a lot. Isn't that funny? But they took all this money. I mean, they took all this money for Star Wars. At the same time, they cut back on the school lunch programs. They cut back on the medical clinics. And I was riding around town and with my daughter, and I saw these boarded up places that just not that long ago were really serving the community. And we read the newspaper that we had to have this missile shield that took all the money from the arts. Back then, they even classified ketchup as a vegetable so that they could save more money on school.
I remember that. Yes,
I don't like ketchup. But anyway, so I wrote this song. called Shoot the Angels Down, which was about the missile programs and expenditures for weapons, all going to arts programs. And I made single copies of it, and I mailed it to individual copies, members of Congress and senators. And I don't know if that had any effect, but so I thought instead of sending copies now, that was a few years ago, that we'll just do it right there. The congressman can come over, and the people can come over, and anybody can come over who lives in the neighborhood. But yeah, if anybody who's actually votes, that'd be neat if they showed up.
I also want to welcome to the program right now Claudine Hargrove, who's also going to be performing with you all down on Balance Box. Claudine, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be included.
I'm glad you're with us. Thank you so much. All of you, I'm just really interested in why you all are there. I'm curious. Let me start again with Dale. Let me go around the room here. Okay. Go to Dale, then go up to Claudine. I mean, I'm just curious about where you come from. You were a Marine.
Yeah, and I'm a citizen, an ex-Marine, and I'm really proud of the military service that I had, but what they've done to the military now. When I was in there, you know, we all had KP duty, and we all cleaned up the bathrooms, and we all took turns, and it gave you a sense of cohesion. And I think our current leaders have really destroyed that by, you know, farming out the food, you know, the mess hall, and farming out the laundry. It's all done by Halliburton now, and they sort of killed the military. So, yes, I am proud of it, but the military is not what it used to be.
Were you there during Vietnam?
During those years, I didn't have to go over there. Something funny, the Marine Corps actually sent me to Memphis, which is another long story, which we'll do on
another day.
Show.
So, Claudine, tell me about your participation here and what drew you to this event.
Well, I'm really excited to be included. I'm definitely able to consciously identify the challenges that face us, but I'm also hoping to provide a little bit of positive enlightenment and insight. My goal is to place things in a balanced perspective, starting with N, so that we can hopefully generate positive change throughout the community and eventually generate governmental influence.
Let me go down the room here. We haven't heard from Angela Taylor, who's a rising star in the folk world and lives right here in Baltimore.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Talk a bit about why you're this. What this rally means for you.
Well, you know, I'm a music teacher, and I'm also a mom to a three-year-old. And so, you know, I'm really concerned about how the inequities of how our budget is distributed here in America. And I really think we should be spending a lot more on education and a lot less on the military.
Lee?
I've written so much music over the past 30 years having to do with, you know, tracing how corporate America sort of preys on the frailties of human beings by, you know, in any number of ways in order to squeeze more money out of them. And that's about it.
Why don't you all, you gonna do a little something for us here that you might sing down there, or you got something in mind? Let me slide that mic a little closer to you. So
you got it.
Okay, there you go. Good. All right. So what you all like to do?
Who wants to go first?
Well,
Dale,
why don't you kick us off?
Wait, what were you going to say, Claudine?
Well, I was going to say for myself, I intend to sing a song I composed last year called There's Still Hope, and I will accompany myself on my keyboard instrument.
That'd be good. I wish I could be there to hear that. Maybe we'll get down there on Sunday to hear that. I want people to get down
there.
Check
it out on the internet, please.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. All this will be on our website.
Wonderful.
Dale, you want to play
something? Okay, I'm going to play one that I'm going to do down there.
Okay.
It's called Only Man Kills for Gold. Whoops. Goes off. I left my mind a million miles behind. behind me, back where the Cascades flow, and took a place besides Booker T. Lowry, halfway to Chicago. And he said, "Old Beale Street don't mean a thing no more. What good are souvenirs to settle the score? And you'll probably learn when it's your turn to get old that only man kills for gold. Only man kills for gold. Only man will sell his soul. If he finds a mountain, he's gonna leave behind a hole. Only man kills for gold." Then I met my folks in a blizzard at station, where the snow piled higher than my head. Thought I'd look up and some of the kids I grew up with, but I found no one there instead. And my dad said they just tore down the last buildings from the fair. And my mom said they just put up a burger joint there. But it's not so bad once you're used to the cold. It's only man kills for gold. Only man kills for gold. Only man will sell his soul. If he finds a mountain, he's gonna leave behind a hole. Only man kills for gold. Nothing worse than being a superfluous person, not needed anymore by anyone. Hung out to dry till you're dust in the sky, if you're not among chosen ones. Though we bought them tales about just working real hard, when it comes to promises, you know, life can be such a card. Like taking history and breaking it up to be sold. Only man kills for gold. Only man kills for gold. Only man will sell his soul. If he finds a mountain, he's gonna leave behind a hole. Only man kills for gold.
I think that sentiment is kind of universal. It is true, isn't it? It is definitely true.
Powerful song.
But before we turn to Lee Jones and Angela, you going to do something for us this hour? You got something on your mind?
I am. I definitely have something on my
mind. All right.
First, I kind of wanted to clarify my previous comment before we get a bunch of calls in from angry people who are, you know, valuably serving our nation in the military, what I meant by my previous comment. So there's a really great depiction of the disparity between what's being spent on education versus what's being spent at the Pentagon. And it's done by the Ben & Jerry's folks in collaboration with True Majority. And you can watch this fantastic Oreo cookie depiction if you just go to our BalanceTheBucks.com website and click on the Oreo Federal Budget. And I think they do a really good job of illustrating how huge a difference there is in our priorities here in America today. We're actually spending $400 billion at the Pentagon, and we're only spending $35 billion on K-12 education. And I think maybe we should just, even if we took, you know, just a few billion off the top of the Pentagon budget and redistributed it to education, I think that our country would be so much better off. And in fact, I think even if we were to sort of rethink our priorities in the war on terror, we might accomplish a lot more through education than through our current strategy. And a book that has really been a great influence on me in that regard is a book called Three Cups of Tea, which was written by Greg Mortensen and David Oliver Rellen. And it is the story of one man's mission to fight terrorism and build nations one school at a time.
So I like that. So I just opened up your website here. And there's a lot on this website that you can link to and find. I opened up the what you were talking about, and I was afraid the sound would come popping on, so I went right back to the homepage so we wouldn't get people confused, but it's there. So what are you going to do?
Well, I've written a song that urges us to put the guns away. And I suppose I'm going to be playing that for you today, as long as we can get that all worked out.
We can. We're ready.
For our children, what the future brings as the world gets smaller. Gotta fix a couple things. So tell me why, oh God, children can't pray together. Yeah, tell me why we can't live in peace. If it's the same blue sky we're living under, we're living under the same blue sky. Today's the perfect day to mend our ways and put all the guns away. All over the world, people do the same things. Mothers hold babies, fathers tell stories. Teens wanna go out on a weekend night in search of fun and love. So tell me why our God's children can't pray together. Yeah, tell me why we can't live in peace. If it's the same blue sky we're living under, we're living under the same blue sky. Today's the perfect day to mend our ways and put all of the guns away. Black, white, Arab, Asian, woman, man, Muslim, Christian, communism, socialism, neo-fascism, age-old sexism. Where there's injustice, then there is strife. We're all just human after all. If it's the same blue sky we're living under, we're living under. Day to mend our ways and put all the guns away. 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 Put all the guns away.
Thank you. Thank you. And before we turn over to to hear something from Lee Jones. I want to forget we also have Claudine Hargrove with us. I'm afraid is at her in your home. Is that where you are, Claudine?
I'm afraid not, which is why I'm sadly not in a position to give a demo of what I would like to present. But I hope that's not a problem.
Right. So tell me a bit again about what you're singing, so our listeners can understand that before we turn to Lee.
Well, I definitely want to give validation to the issues affecting us all individually as a whole here and abroad, but I also want to remind the listener that there's always something that can be done about it, but it starts with self. We have to keep our inner perspective on a positive and hopeful note to give us the energy to generate the change that's going to be necessary. So I hope to cover both bases, if you will.
Look forward to hearing that and your music. We'll get everybody's connections here on our website so we can see all these people we're talking with today. Lee Jones?
Yes, sir.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you standing and walking.
Right. three kidneys later.
Three kidneys, wow. But you're doing good, man. You look good.
You look wonderful.
You look good.
Feeling good. There's a song I wrote a while back deals with that topic. I was just, the last couple songs are kind of bottom down tunes. This song is kind of more about personal responsibility, and it's whatever it's about. I'm not sure what it's about. It's called it's called Slave. Taking off the headphones. Six o'clock in the morning, you turn the TV on. Yeah, good morning, America. All your sweet dreams are gone, gone, gone. Chemicals get you speeding. Yeah, better check your heartbeat, your heartbeat. Oh, Juan Valdez goes leading the charge to get your tired feet down a high street. Oh, you're a slave. Got it made with a house, two cars, an RV, and a boat. Yeah, the good hands people are smiling now. They got their good hands wrapped firmly around your throat. Slave, yeah. Change your system, yeah. You want to get on. Find a way to unhobble him. You know you won't be finding no answers till you can see that there's a problem. Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. Slave. Cause you wanna do your fair share. Save the suffocating earth. Oh, Ben and Jerry's peace pop.
Ben and Jerry's.
It's fine for what it's worth. I'm talking about that greenhouse thing. Don't it ever stop to trouble you. Yeah, it'll be cruising along the WEA and your sexy, sexy BMW. Your teeth stuck in a glass. A downhill chart's up on the wall. Got tubes stuck down your throat. You got tubes stuck everywhere. They say you can't take it with you. Yeah, so scratching and clawing, you're taking it all apart. Baby, I'm scared to death of dying now. Cause now
little taste of what's going to be happening this Sunday on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Balance the Bucks, a rally against greed taking place at the Washington Monument starting at 2 p.m. this Sunday. These four and a great many other performers will be there to lend their voice to America to say, let's do something about this economy, but let's do it right, and let's take care of the people in this country and not just the banks.
Yes,
you just heard my old friend Lee Jones, who is on the guitar before that, Angela Taylor, who has her own website as well, as many they all do, and she won the Mid-Atlantic Pop Songwriting Contest. And on her, I was just looking at your website, Angela, on her website she has the cost of Warner Rock still ticking away on her website. Also joining us here is the man who put all this together, Del Goldfarb.
Thank you, Mark, for having us over.
It's good to have you here. And Claudina Hargrove joining us by phone.
So, I appreciate it.
It's good to have you with us as well. So some final thoughts on what we think is going to what people should expect on Sunday and what you want them to do.
Well, my first quote that I used to kick this thing off is, I'm hoping to punch a hole in the cloud of influence that just blankets this whole town, or not this town, Baltimore, but Washington, the blanket
this
of money.
This town, too.
We're doing something that's money-free, that we're doing something that's from our heart. Nobody's paying us to do it. There's not going to be any ads and banners, no beer signs all over the place. And that's going to be something brand new for today's capital. That's what's happening.
Well, sometimes you have to. It's important to get things done, with not a lot of corporate support. Someone said, we were talking about Woodstock last week, and you couldn't do Woodstock today unless you had every major corporation in the world with a banner on the top.
You'd have to have Blackwater for security.
Instead of just a bunch of old Marines, huh?
Yes.
Which Del Goldfarb is. So this Sunday, Balance the Bucks, a rally against greed taking place this Sunday, September 6th at the Washington Monument in D.C. starting at 2 p.m. Go to balancethebucks.com for more information. And be there to let your voice be heard, to show what you think about what America can and should be. So good luck, folks.
That's what it's all about, Mark. You got it right.
Good to have you all here.
Thank you so much.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.org. I'll be back with Anthony McCarthy in just a minute. Talk about a whole bunch of stuff, so stay with us. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We're going to talk about a bunch of things for the next hour and a half with you all, and we want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Jump on to the Friends of Mark Steiner Facebook, become a friend, and join us there with your comments. We're asking all of our friends, by the way, who are on the Mark Steiner Facebook page, like slide on over to the Friends of Mark Steiner now, all almost 2,000 of you, come on over and we can really talk to one another in a way we can't do in just a friends page, so in a regular page. We want you to do that. But right now, I'm here with my dear friend and colleague and Monday co-host, Anthony McCarthy, who is host of the Anthony McCarthy Show right here on WEAA every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., but he's here every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m., stuck with me.
I look forward to it. That gets me through my weekends, Mark, knowing, and I'm always scouring the news and listening very closely to decision makers and a bunch of folks, because I want people to know that come Monday, Mark Steiner and I are going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about some stuff.
We're going to talk about some stuff.
So we want you to bring your thoughts to the airways, 410-319-8888. We want to hear what you have to think, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com, or go to Facebook and leave us a message there. We will get to that as well. We want to hear everything you all have to say. But there are a lot of things going on in the news, Anthony. What do we have lined up here? There's
you know, we were talking, Mark, about the governor's announcement, major budget cuts.
$470 million.
$470 million, which, and people can connect the dots, which has a direct impact on localities like Baltimore County, Baltimore City. Mayor Dixon and city leaders now have to, I guess, fill like a $60.2 million gap that's caused by the loss of funds coming from the state.
$60.2 million.
$60.2, and it's going to obviously force the mayor's hand at layoffs and furloughs. She and her administration right now, along with members of the council, talking to city unions who represent the police department, represent the fire department, represent municipal employees, trying to see now how can we come to some sort of agreement? Because if the mayor is able, Mark, to get folks to take furloughs and significant furloughs, that will save enough dollars to begin to eat away at that gap. But if they don't, if they won't take furloughs, her only, you know, unfortunately, her only choice then is, what positions can we cut to save those dollars? And the same thing's happening in Baltimore County to a lesser extent. They are less impacted by the budget cuts, but still significantly, Jim Smith would tell you, significantly impacted by the budget cuts and the situation that this governor finds himself in. He has to close this gap.
And I heard that Prince George's County workers are going to defy and take the Prince George's County government to court to say the furloughs were unconstitutional.
They believe, and it's interesting, Mark, because this has happened in other jurisdictions around the country as jurisdictions, states and local jurisdictions have begun to have to once again either clear out positions that have not been filled traditionally, cut positions, or furlough. Some unions and some employees are starting to argue that it is unconstitutional to furlough, that if Mark Steiner is hired at a certain, say it's a certain amount of money or a certain salary, that technically the state or the city or whatever the jurisdiction cannot then go back and renegotiate and furlough or layoff or cut your salary. It's going to be a very interesting debate that takes place. I'd be very interested to hear what people think. The governor, as you know, Mark, set up a hotline. He wanted to know what the citizens of Maryland, what kind of ideas they had that he could possibly use to avoid some of these cuts. But it's huge. It's a huge, huge cut that he had to make. The entire Board of Public Works voted unanimously to support his decisions.
Decisions? What decisions? Has he made decisions?
Yes. Last Wednesday, the Board of Public Works met. The comptroller, as well as the state treasurer, all voted to support the governor's. He brought all of his cabinet people forward. They told the Board of Public Works exactly what cuts they were making in each agency, which prisons were going to be shut down, which juvenile detention centers were going to be shut down, which programs for senior citizens would be shut down, which how the schools would be impacted. The governor wanted to make sure that everybody knew line by line how the citizens were going to be impacted. It was very frustrating for some of the agencies. Secretary Maynard with criminal justice, juvenile justice, you know, it broke his heart. He said, look, we have to impact these young people's lives, but we also have to balance that bottom line.
So I'm curious what everybody thinks about that. If you're a city, county, state worker, you accept a furlough. Do you think people should have furloughs or layoffs? And what are your ideas about what should be done and why this is happening? Why do you think this is going on? And what do you think needs to be done about it, if anything, what we are willing to do as citizens to deal with these kind of budget cuts and these layoffs? I mean, when you think about what layoffs mean, it just city workers of state workers of any type, could be social workers, could be police, could be fire, could be people who take care of the environment, could be people who take care of your children in daycare centers. 410-319-8888. So whether you live in Prince George's County or Montgomery County or Baltimore City, Baltimore County, what do you think? And how do you kind of respond to this when you see this? Is it ho-hum? Means nothing? It'll mean something if you see your paycheck cut. It means something if your spouse loses their job. But it means something because that has an effect on other jobs. When people start losing their jobs in the state, it affects other kind of retail operations.
Oh, without question, Mark. We read in The Sun this weekend about, and I think a story even today, about several restaurants, very popular restaurants in the city
closing
of Baltimore.
Closing right and left.
Closing.
The Dogwood closed.
The Brass Elephant
closed. Brass Elephant, an old institution in town.
Very long list. And I think it caught people off guard, Mark. That list.
Ixia?
Ixia. It was very jarring that these restaurants, and you and I visited many of them. If you see my waistline, you know I've gone to quite a few. But Mark, it was really kind of jarring that so many restaurants have closed down. And the Brass Elephant owner said, look, No one's coming. It's a direct result of the economy, and people are making some tough choices. Now, imagine I got a call from a gentleman today who works for the city. Said he was informed today by his supervisor that if the negotiations between the mayor and the unions and everyone, once a decision is made, she wanted him to know up front that his position was one of the positions that she was going to have to let go.
What kind of job was it?
He works for the transportation department. And I mean, these are real, where the rubber hits the road jobs. These are the people who are picking up your trash. These are the people who are taking care of your children if you receive, if your children are in state run or city subsidized daycare centers. It is a direct impact. And you know, Mark and I don't have to talk to the listeners about how they're being impacted because people are feeling it every day.
Let's, Anthony, hear what some people out in the community are hearing, saying about this before we look at anything else at 410-319-8888. If you look at the budget cuts that are coming down, Baltimore City and Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Baltimore County, all throughout the state of Maryland. It's going to affect our lives. And what do we really think about it? And how do we respond to this? What are we willing to sacrifice, if anything, if we can? 410-319-8888. Tamika, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening to you
good
both.
Good evening.
My comment is basically for state workers. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if we were really being compensated beyond 2% during the year. You know, I don't think it would hurt as much. The other thing is that this is right around the time when many people are getting their children prepared to go back to school. So they didn't really have a chance to budget. And then some of us have already done salary reductions and furloughs earlier during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So if President Obama had not rolled back the payroll taxes, we wouldn't even have that money. But then we're going to lose that on top of what's being required of us, which is like 3 days. And for many of us, that's more than $300. That may not sound like a lot from a person's budget, but it is.
That's my concern.
You know, basically the timing that it was done and that, you know, people didn't have enough time to prepare themselves.
Tamika, what do you think about the governor and the mayor and others who – it's a very difficult decision that these elected officials have to make. But some people are arguing the furloughs – and we know that on the state level, this is, what, the third round of furloughs, Mark? I can't remember.
I believe it's just the second.
It's just the second. Okay. But the furloughs are better than the massive layoffs.
Right, but I've been through a layoff in years past, and it was for 11 months. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thankful for a job. And I understand decisions have to be made every day. It's not just state, city, you know, workers. But federal government workers are not being furloughed again. They will not be furloughed again. And they make more money than us. Their benefit packages are better than ours. So, and also with the health care premiums that we pay, they go up every year. So we never really see the 2% that we're supposed to get, which 2% is nothing compared to someone making 10%.
I'm curious what you would like to see. And before we go to Maria, our next caller, what would you like to see about to be done? And what if you were brought in by people in power and said, okay, Tamika, join us here and help us figure out what our response should be. What would you say?
I think they need to go back and revisit what they're doing as far as who they're laying off. Even though they're saying people who are below $40,000 would be hit as hard, any money that you're losing when you're already losing money is going to hurt you in more ways than one. So I think they really need to go back and see where they can make changes or make cuts, maybe higher up. You know, some people have brought that out as well. And I understand people have mortgages and children in college. I understand that. But if you're making $80,000 versus a person that's making $40,000, that's still a big difference. So that's my take on it.
Tamika, thank you so much. And before we go to Maria, I'm just going to throw this out to you, I think, as we go back to the phones here. And is it, you know, Anthony, we keep hearing messages that the economy is on the rebound slowly, that housing prices are rising, that the stock market is doing better. But there are almost 10% of American people are officially unemployed. Bob Herbert's column says if you add all the people who are not looking for jobs, who don't make enough in the jobs they have, we're talking about 17 to 20% of America could actually be un or underemployed. You hear Tamika trying to struggle to make ends meet on a $40,000 a year salary working for the state. And so the question is, whose economy is getting better in America? I mean, it's, I don't think the economy is getting better. I think that, that we often kind of judge our economy by where the stock market is, by where Wall Street is, by housing prices going up. But that doesn't affect the vast majority of Americans who are working for a living.
If you talk to Tamika or me or you go to my neighbors, Mark, they're not measuring the economy on the GNP. They're not measuring
GDP.
GDP. Yeah. Thank you. Gross domestic
product.
Product. They are measuring. See, I'm not measuring. They're measuring it by how can they cover their rent or their mortgage? How can they pay for health care, which really includes their children,
right?
Making sure that their children are covered. And they're measuring by how much they can afford to buy when they go into the grocery store to buy food. And when they see things like milk continuing to go up, eggs continuing to go up, and their dollar is not being stretched. And when you have to, Tamika said something so powerful, Mark, and I'm sure the listeners caught on. What she said was, look, we get a 2% increase, but our health insurance coverage continues to go up every year, and we have to cover that cost. So she doesn't see that 2%. So she has to keep managing her household budget on the same amount of dollars. And that's not anyone's fault. I mean, I'm not trying to place blame or point at the governor or anyone. They are dealing with the realities of the dollars that they have. The dollars that are being generated coming in that can be turned around and given out as salary benefits.
The questions are larger than that, and I think that people have to begin to really push to make their voices heard about where this money should go. And we have there were reports today. I was reading the Wall Street Journal. Then we are going to go right back to the phones, Maria Lamar. But I just want to let you all know this: there were reports in the Wall Street Journal today. One that there's another looming crisis ahead of us, and I hate to be always bringing bad news to the world. But the article in the Wall Street Journal was about that we saw the economic crisis fueled by the mortgage crisis. But there's a new crisis about to hit, and that are commercial loans. Over $780 billion of commercial loans in America are on the edge of going over. What that would mean for this country. The fact that most of the money has gone into shoring up banks to buy banks that are not doing well. And many people are beginning to question, where's the money, the stimulus package, to really fuel local governments, to put people back to work, whether it's retrofitting homes for the green energy, or whether it's rebuilding our roads, building rail, putting it into schools, hiring school teachers and social workers. Where's that money? That some people argue that's the real stimulus we need. And are we getting it?
And Mark, I know we got to get to the callers, but I remember listening to your show and people were talking about that stimulus money that was coming from the government, federal government, into the state during the last budget cycle, and how that they were going to be able to make that stretch over this two-year cycle, getting past elections. And what we found out is that those dollars, in fact, will not. First of all, they were all earmarked, very specifically earmarked, whether it was transportation or other things. And so as Tamika said, yeah, people have to become much more creative about how we are spending our dollars. But unfortunately, Mark, the reality is we have to see cuts as well. There has to be a decrease in the spending.
And what will that mean, though? I mean, we'll come back to that. I'm gonna hear more about that, but you have to think about that. Maria Lamar, Mike, we're coming to the phones at 410-319-8888. I'm Mark Steiner here with Anthony McCarthy in the studio to talk about issues of the day with you and Maria. Marie, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, good evening.
I'm going to ask you all, can you all get somebody that's still alive that has been through the Depression? Because I feel that African Americans, as of now, are in a depression. And I know on the media they don't like to use that word, depression, but we most definitely are. And the dollar, someone said, was really IOUs. I'm going to hang up and hear your response. Thank you.
Well, you know, you live in the heart of it.
I do.
Where your home is, you know?
I do. And Mark, you know, we talk about it every day. I call you for advice and counsel on spreading no dollars out so that we can manage to live. But she points out something that even if we were to read the Wall Street Journal, it points out that African American households are not disproportionately being impacted by this recession, but that African-American households are proportionately seeing a huge, huge hit. There are many households are already have breadwinners who are underemployed. And when you think about being underemployed and still having to find a way, whether you're getting some sort of assistance or you're subsidizing assistance to get health care, to get daycare, to get a whole lot of other things, you see those dollars being split. And she talked about the value of the dollar, which is fascinating, Mark. I went with one of my neighbors to the grocery store on a Saturday morning, and I just watched her face, Mark, as she tried to buy for her children. But Mark, she, with what she had, she could not buy the things that she had been buying all along. She had to make decisions as she was going along. And not just, I don't want to say that just African-American families are making those tough decisions, because we know that's not the case. But where the rubber hits the road, people are impacted. And so when I'm sure it has to be frustrating to hear that the economy is on the rebound, that things are getting better, and you don't feel that in your house or in your heart or see that happening in your household.
I mean, I think that for a lot of people who are living, for people who are middle class, especially the lower ends of the middle class, who are poor people in America, they're the ones who feel, they are in a depression, and a very serious depression. And I think that there have to be some short-term goals and there have to be some long-term responses to this. And I think the problem, one of the problems is that it's always the people with the power have the money for the lobbyists that are making the decisions, as opposed to those of us who are trying to shout from the outside saying something else has to be done.
And it's a lack of options. And fortunately for people who have been successful in business and decision makers who go to their, whether it's Congress or the State House or the City Hall every day and make these decisions, they have more options than Tamika and Marie and others who've been calling your program.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Lamar, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hi, Lamar.
How you guys doing?
Hi, Lamar.
Actually, I was writing some notes down. In specific, as far as these budget cuts, first of all, I work for Baltimore County. I'm an engineer. I actually got lucky finding a job, so I'm thankful to have a job. As far as furloughs and everything, they're not doing any on us. But as far as the state goes, my mother works for the state. She's a social worker, and basically she's told me in specific that a lot of the state workers, specifically from Baltimore, feel like they've hit the lottery when they get a state job. So there are a lot of them that don't really work that hard. They come in late. They leave early. They don't come in at all. So for people to complain about being furloughed versus losing your job, I think is a little asinine. And just be thankful that they have a job that they hit the lottery in. So it's everybody has to take a pay cut. Everybody has to take a pay cut. That's just how it is.
But I mean,
we as Baltimore County employees, we were prepared to have a furlough. A lot of us would love to have 5 days off, whether you get paid or not. I mean, because the job is very stressful. So that's the problem. There's a lot of people out there that are not willing to make the sacrifices that need to be made so that these particular budgets can be balanced out.
Anthony?
Well, I don't think it's fair to disparage an entire group of workers. And so I just want to, as a former city employee, just say that the bulk of people who go to work every day for the city of Baltimore go to work, put in their time, work very hard, extremely hard for very low salaries, and a minimal of benefits that the city is able to proportion out. But I think he's right. We do have to make sure that there is adopted an attitude, Mark, that there is shared responsibility and shared pain here. And I think that's what the mayor's argument and the governor's argument is going to be to Glenn Middleton and the folks at the union, the fire department, and the police department. Look, Let's sit down at the table and have an honest conversation about how we best serve the best interest of our employees and meet our obligations to balance this budget and to spend these tax dollars wisely, a dwindling tax dollars wisely.
Well, it's
easy to point the finger at city employees and government workers and just say that people get off easy.
And there are lazy workers everywhere.
Amen.
And there are hard workers everywhere. And I don't think most people fall somewhere in the middle.
In the middle.
Come do your job, do everything you can, do the job right, and go home. I mean, that's just, you know, the nature of life. But the reality, what I'm waiting to hear, now this, the argument seems to me is either that the vast unemployment rate in America, the what is it now? I have this right. I got to look it up and make sure I have it right. The 7 to 10 million jobs America lost may not be coming back right away. What do you do for those people who don't have the jobs? Do we just say, okay, the marketplace is going to take care of it? We're going to wait till everything rights itself? And that's just what we have to do as the nature of society and life? Or is it time for government to intervene to put people back to work in meaningful work that brings paychecks home, that can take care of families and get the economy moving again? So, I mean, that's the question people have to decide. And what are you willing to do for that?
And, Mark, that 7 to 10 million jobs that we're talking about, there is still a cost. There is still a cost that is associated, even when those jobs are lost or they are temporarily lost. There are still benefits and dollars that we have to associate to each one of those benefits to those individuals. And we all bear the brunt of those costs. And so I think the question really is, Mark, how far and how willing are we to go? And what kind of visionary, what kind of creative thing can government do? And I know there are people who are cringing and government shouldn't have to, but sometimes government has to find a way. They use this word stimulate all the time to stimulate growth in this economy. And that includes creating jobs. I mean, how many times did we have to do that in the history of this country where we had to put people to work so that families could bring paychecks home and then they would turn those dollars around and keep communities alive?
Government has always done that in America. We wouldn't have had a canal system in the early 19th century if there wasn't government who paid for it.
Highway system, I mean, it really has sustained us.
Railroads. You wouldn't have had banks. You wouldn't have had many things in America if it wasn't for government intervening. You wouldn't have Medicare. Old people wouldn't have health care in America. I could be one of those people. I will be one of those. Hopefully, I will be one of those people.
That's
soon.
That's right.
To get some of that health care. Should we get one more caller here before we take a break? Is that yes? No? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So why don't we take a break and come back? Should we do that? Is it time? 410-319-8888 is the number here. Mike, you're holding on, and John, you're holding on. We can come to your calls. We're going to cover a lot more issues when we return. There's so much going on here. We want to talk about some local stuff with slots and a little inch side angle to the fact that people who I know, like Mike Cryer, who are kind of the lead spokesman for this, what that says about political power in Maryland in a way that you maybe not be thinking about. 410-319-8888.
And how does the death of Senator Edward Kennedy impact the ongoing health care reform debate? And there's talk that his widow, may in fact be the interim senator from Massachusetts. How will that impact this crazy health care reform debate going on?
More likely, she will be the next interim senator from Massachusetts. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state of Maryland, go to 1-800-492-5538. Anthony and I will be right back.